The Huntsman's Reel, written by Phil Omitha and read by Annalise Oten. Fandom, Vorkosigan Saga, pairing, Simon Illion, Alice Vorpatril, rating, teen and up. After almost a decade of hosting events at the Imperial Residence, Lady Alice could read the room without difficulty. Tonight, she feared, would not be one of her great successes. Though given the guests, anything short of fisticuffs on the dance floor would be counted as a victory. Convincing this many high-level Camarans to accept the hospitality of Lord Regent Vorkosigan, with the ruins of the revolt still not all rebuilt, had been a triumph in itself, and the tension and awkwardness in the air was a fair price to pay. And so far all the mishaps had been of the minor sort. The major domo pronouncing a name incorrectly, Mademoiselle Vore lightly slipping at the end of a dance and landing most improperly in her startled Camaran partner's arms, a junior servant making a mistake in the order of precedence. And Prime Minister Vortala had a number of senior Camarans in earnest-looking conversation, and Arl was exerting himself to charm the magnate of one of the largest trade fleets. But Alice continued to scan the room alertly, steering rivals away from each other, and quietly instructing the senior servitor to water Admiral Vorvo Lincoln's drinks a bit more, at least until midnight. Her scan of the room caught a discreet side door opening, and Captain Illion came in. He moved slowly and unobtrusively, but Alice found herself changing course in an instant, as if he had raced in followed by a score of armed men. Something was wrong. Illion's spine was rigid with tension, his eyes sharp with alarm, but he stood motionless against a wall, arms folded, and Alice knew that whatever it was, it required discretion. "A triumph, I assure you, my dear Lady Alice," purred Lady Varinus at her elbow, and Alice had to turn away and answer and tell Lady Varinus about her progress in finding a bride for her eldest son. When she escaped, Captain Illion was still standing by the door, looking almost like another discreet guard, but still with that hidden terror in his eyes. Alice meandered gently around the room, dodging any further attempts to engage her, and ended up, as if by chance, next to him. "Has something happened, Captain?" she asked, hovering over a tray of canapes as if selecting one. Illion gave a little shake of his head, not denying it, but refusing the question. The musician struck up a mirror dance, and he bowed to her. "Will you dance with me?" Abrupt, but Alice supposed he had a reason. She took his formally offered hand, and they stepped onto the dance floor, one couple among dozens. "Somewhere in here," said Captain Illion as he started off with a simple sidestep, "there are four Cetagandan assassins." Alice could keep her place in a dance while fending off amorous advances or coaxing out political concessions, and she did not lose her step now. "You're quite sure?" "We've been trying to track them for weeks. It broke 10 minutes ago. The tailor who sold them some outfits for tonight had his suspicions and just came forward, and combined with our other intelligence, I am certain they are here. I know that one has had a recent body mod, and that they've purchased equipment that could be used to make bombs. They are here, and I must consider them armed and dangerous, but until I can identify them, we can't move." "And you want me to find them?" Illion turned about. Alice mirrored him. "Every analyst I have is in on this, scanning through the security footage or the guest list, but you're in the room, and you know the people. Can you not call Arl out on some pretext, take the wind out of their sails that way?"
"Assuming he's the target," Illion said. "Also, nothing short of a declaration of war would take him away from these discussions now, and the Cetagandans must know that. I dare not spook them now. I've evacuated Gregor and the children and as many others as I can, but I cannot let anything draw their attention here until we've identified them all."
"Then smile a little more," Alice murmured, and executed a neat twirl that Illion followed unerringly, and smiled. "Who's the tailor?" she asked as he faced her again. "And what did he make?"
Two evening suits, standard formal wear. I have the details and an analyst looking through all that, too. The name was Snyder. She gave a small snort at that, then placed her hands palm to palm with Ilian and turned them both about in a stately circle. Ku gets his suits there, but we can rule him out. So does Count Borva Lincoln. And that tall fellow holding a full glass of champagne next to the Minister for Agriculture. She scanned across the room. And Colonel Karpov, but I can't see everyone from here. Apparently, taking this as an instruction, Ilian twirled her under his arm and they promenaded slowly around the line of dance. Alice smiled and nodded to acquaintances as they passed. Thomas Vorbone, Those two men with their backs to us by the pot plant, Captain Bortala. Snyder's quite popular for those with no taste. Ilian made an impatient noise at that, and Alice swirled her skirts as they turned. I mention it because it's odd that a Sitagandan would choose him. He's not cheap, and their aesthetic is normally more finely tuned than that. There must be something else about him. His cuts are generous, and he's good at hiding defects of appearance.
Or weapons? Ilian asked.
Possibly. Do you have an analyst who understands men's evening dress?
Apparently I do now, he replied. We are underusing your skills.
Anyone else? Not that I can see from here. Keep to the line of the dance. You'll draw notice. She shifted her weight so that Ilian had to keep moving in the correct direction and felt him yield.
There were only two outfits, he said. And four Sitagandans. The body mods suggest one might be here, wearing the face of someone we know. It wasn't a major mod, so someone of a similar age and build as the Sitagandan.
Are they all men? All guess?
Ilian's hand tensed on hers in frustration. I don't know. There may not even be four.
Only one of the agency servants made a mistake in the order of precedence earlier. Not a serious thing. I would have spoken to the manager afterwards and let her deal with it. But it was the kind of mistake a Sitagandan might make, serving Madame Kanzian, who was born Lady Varinus, before he should have. It would have been the proper order for a Sitagandan. She scanned around the room. That dark man with the tray of empty glasses. As they looked, the servant carried the tray towards a staff exit. Ilian tensed completely, and he murmured an order into his concealed comm, and a few moments later, one of the imp-sex servants followed their suspect out.
They'll keep a close watch on him now, and we'll be able to take him down as soon as I give the order, and see what they can unravel from his background. We vet all the staff, agency or not, but it's clear they've managed to find ways to slip through. So many Kamarans had their records damaged or lost during the uprising. It's not easy.
He made a gesture that Alice mirrored, and then they turned around again.
It's very important that this not disrupt the Kamaran talks, Alice said. How will you get them out without causing a scene?
Arl told me earlier that he would fry my liver for breakfast if my security was anything other than discreet tonight. Alice recognized Arl's intonation in Ilian's repetition and smiled despite herself.
I was hoping you might have a suggestion.
Alice advanced, retired, turned about. Ilian mirrored her. It would not be unusual if Arl were to make some remarks soon. We could usher everyone through to the blue room for that. And as people move through, you could act then with less disruption.
That would work,
Ilian agreed.
But only if they hold off. They can make their move at any moment, and every second that goes by increases the chance. If it comes to it, my lady.
His gaze landed across the room on the Lord Regent. If it comes to it, you know I and half the people in this room will try to get between Arl and whatever comes. The music swelled to a close, and Alice sank into a polite, shallow curtsy. Ilian bowed exactly the same way he bowed to everyone from the Emperor downwards, cool, distant, and severe. They walked off the dance floor together, and Ilian hesitated then.
May I fetch you a drink? He asked.
Then more quietly,
You've got further with this case in 6 minutes than we have in the past 2 months, and I need to be on the spot.
Alice smiled at him, a more encouraging smile than she had given Count Vordrozda when he had renewed his assault on her widowhood earlier in the evening.
That would be most kind, Captain.
Ilian set off across the room to procure some more champagne, or more likely fizzy-colored water, and Alice turned her attention to the rest of the room. The Dowager Countess Vorsmythe was sitting nearby, and she beckoned sharply to Alice.
My dear Lady Alice, can you not do something about those young ladies? When I was a girl, no Vor maiden would have dared to so much as speak to a man without her mamma's permission. As our leading lady, you owe it to the decency of the Vor to ensure that proper standards of behavior are maintained. I think because you are so young yourself, our young ladies see you encouraging these prole officers and believe they have license to do likewise.
Then gave a meaningful glare in the direction of Amaryllis Vortashpula, laughing loudly at the wit of a very young lieutenant in dress greens. He turned a little, and Alice recognized Lieutenant Parkin, Arl's current secretary.
You are quite right, Countess, Alice said, and the old lady blinked. I will speak with them immediately.
She set off across the room and caught Parkin's eye. A moment, please, Lieutenant. He gave Amaryllis a helpless smile and said, Of course, my lady. Alice drew him to one side.
Arl may need to make some additional remarks this evening. Interplanetary unity. Nothing contentious, but make it sound good. If you could prepare something for him and expect to be finished within 15 minutes, I would be grateful. And don't be obvious about it.
Arl chose his men for their brains, and Parkin did not object that he was evidently off duty for the evening.
Yes, my lady, was all he said, and he paused to say something more to Amaryllis, making her laugh again, before moving unobtrusively towards the door leading to the men's retiring room. A good officer, that one.
Captain Ilian caught up with her bearing 2 glasses which did not contain champagne, somewhat to Alice's regret. He extended his arm and they walked through the great double doors to the adjoining room where Arl and Prime Minister Vortalo were holding court. Alice giggled and smiled up at Ilian as they went through the doorway, and after a second startled glance, he fell into the role admirably, patting her hand and giving her a smile that was best described as a smirk. Across the room, Cordelia caught her eye and then raised both eyebrows. Alice gave the tiniest shake of her head.
No, it's all right. I haven't gone mad and I don't need rescuing.
6 suspects so far, Ilian murmured. Any more in here?
Alice scanned across the room.
4. All Camaran guests. Those 2 men talking together by the canapes, the one flirting with Emmeline Ricosi, and the one talking to Arl, the pot-bellied man with the red flower in his buttonhole. She frowned suddenly. He's made that suit look much more attractive than the others. Look at that shirt underneath, and the shoes. Much more dandy-like than you'd expect from a man who uses Snyder.
And do you think that's suspicious? If I had to wear one of those suits, I would have difficulty resisting the temptation to improve matters. It would be very Cetagandan.
Ilian was struggling to look away from the potential Cetagandan assassin, less than a meter from the Lord Regent. He murmured something into his concealed calm, standing far too tensely for a man flirting with Alice Vorpatril.
Hold, Captain, Alice said quietly, and smiled brightly at him.
He allowed her to turn towards him, then said abruptly,
Are you armed?
Only my Vorfem knife.
Not enough. Please excuse me, my lady.
But instead of moving away, he embraced her, his arms snaking closely around her waist, steering her towards the edge of the room, away from the other guests. Alice followed his lead, her eyes widening, tilting her head back automatically for a kiss. Padma had held her in this way, once. Ilian leaned in, his eyes closing either in concentration or in reflex. As his lips lightly brushed hers, she felt something small and metallic slide into her hand, tucked under the folds of her wrap. Alice gave a low laugh and said,
You forget yourself, Captain. And Ilian stepped back politely. There was a glint in his eyes, and his hand lingered a second on hers. Alice wasn't sure whether it was to check she wasn't going to drop the stunner or not. She folded it carefully into the wrap and drew her self-possession back around her. No time now for anything but the job at hand. The Camaran flirting with Emmeline Roccozzi turned so that she could see his face properly, and a memory from earlier in the evening struck her. "That one," she pronounced. "He's Ceta Gandan Gem." Ilian followed her gaze. "You seem very certain." He was the one dancing with Ella Vore lightly earlier. At the end of the dance, she nearly went flying. The gem always do that at the end of a dance, to some degree or other. Old Lady Vortala told me why years ago. Apparently the gem brotherhoods have their own dances, with swords drawn, and at the end of each dance they push their partner away and cross swords. It becomes an ingrained habit. According to the identification, that man is Sir Bonner, a minor trade fleet rep. Can't march him off straight away. Sir Bonner was leaving Emmeline and heading back to the ballroom. Alice had a sudden idea. "I know how we can pin him down." She inclined her head to Ilian in a kind of abbreviated curtsy, then said more loudly, "Pardon me, Captain. I must see to my guests." Drew Kodelka was standing against the wall just inside the ballroom, partnerless for the time being. Her posture reminded Alice startlingly of Ilian. Alice glided over to her quietly and said, "I need you to dance with someone. It's possible that he's a Ceta Gandan assassin. Don't betray anything." Negri had trained Drew personally once. She took this instruction in without blinking and followed Alice across to where her suspect stood. "Madame Kodelka, may I present Sir Bonner as a partner to you for the next dance?" Drew dropped in a shy curtsy, just like the half a dozen other women who had undergone similar introductions throughout the evening, and smiled up at Sir Bonner. Etiquette trapped, he had no choice but to lead her out onto the dance floor. "Thank you, Lady Alice," Drew said, and Alice knew that her thanks were sincere. She wasn't the only woman here whose skills were not being fully used tonight. Two suspects neutralized, two more to go. She caught the eye of her major domo, who had been tracking her movements with some curiosity, and briefly told him that they might need the blue room again and to make ready. Ilian had evidently been occupied on a similar arrangement, for he was leaning against the wall and talking into his concealed comm. A couple of imp sex servants were closer to Arl than previously, she noticed, holding trays that Alice suspected had an ulterior purpose. The Camaran with the red flower in his buttonhole was still talking to Arl, his gestures elegant and smooth as he spoke. Detaching him from his target was not going to be as easy as giving him a new dance partner. She scanned the room again and saw Thomas Vorbone slipping into a window alcove with his arm around the waist of a smiling Camaran woman. "Interplanetary unity," Ilian murmured dryly, coming up alongside her again. "Aura will be pleased." "Perhaps," Alice said, "but it's very odd." "Why?" "Thomas Vorbone only likes men. It's not widely known, but..." Ilian looked at the unusual couple who were moving so that they were shielded from the room by the long velvet curtains, and his stare took on a blank look that told Alice he was filtering through his memory chip. She waited, and was not altogether surprised when he snapped to full alertness. "It's now. Either she's a fifth conspirator or a cover, but it's now." "Vorbone?" she asked. "The body mod, it must be. Vorbone often goes off hiking in the backwoods. It would have been easy to replace him, and he doesn't hold a critical post. The Ceta would have been impersonating him for weeks. It's probably how a lot of this got set up. But go, 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 go!" He emphasized his words with a small, impersonal push, moving away himself towards the passage. Alice drew herself up and stepped into the center of the room, pitching her voice precisely to Carrie. "My lords, ladies, honored guests, if you would make your way through to the blue room..." She gestured gracefully to where the alert imp sex servants were already opening doors on Ilian's go order. "The Lord Regent will make a short address." Arl gave her a look of complete confusion, Beside him, Cordelia was saying something quietly to him, and Alice wondered just how much she had intuited from watching her and Captain Illion. Parkin joined them, and Arl waved Cordelia ahead, lingering to speak to the Camarans. The man with the red flower was still close beside him. The guests, sensing nothing amiss, began to mill in the direction of the open doors. Alice saw General Count Vorkosigan move towards the doors, too, and then stop nearby, his hand hanging free near the hilt of his ceremonial sword that Alice strongly suspected was not ceremonially blunt. Nobody had a keener sense for plot than the old general, even now. Illion was walking in Arl's direction, slowly, his attention apparently elsewhere. Drew and the supposed Sir Bonner were coming through from the ballroom, and Alice saw that Drew had cannily placed herself on Sir Bonner's right arm and was hanging back from the other guests. Skillfully done, Alice thought. The servant would no doubt be handled by his impsec minders. But there was still the couple in the alcove. Knowing the angles to check activities in every corner of these rooms, Alice moved so that she could see in. In the moment she looked, she saw the woman extract a small, shining object from her voluminous Camaran trousers and pass it to the man, who gave it some complex twists before putting his hand in his pocket holding it. Alice gave a quick cutting-off gesture to the four ImpSec agents who were moving in their direction. If it was some kind of device, he could clearly set it off at a second's notice, and there was no telling what it might be. A man might hesitate to blow himself up, but if it was biological and he had the antidote... She had flushed dozens of over-amorous couples out of corners at parties and put on the expression of a disapproving but formally polite vormatron, approaching where they easily could see her coming. "Forgive me for intruding," she said in a tone that meant exactly the opposite. "But if you would be so kind as to make your way through to the blue room, sir, madam." She gestured towards the door, her lips pressed prudishly together. A flicker of relief crossed both their faces, and Alice knew she had not mistaken her suspects, and also that the woman was no hostage or dupe. She stepped back, and they emerged into the main room, looking almost exactly like every couple she had ever interrupted, a little embarrassed, a little angry, but not prepared to make a scene. They set off across the room, and Alice saw the man wearing Vorbone's face tense, and his right shoulder began to move as they came nearer to Arl. She pulled out Captain Illion's stunner, flicked it to a wide beam, and shot them both together in the back. The ImpSec servants converged on them as they fell. "Right pocket," Alice snapped to them. "Some sort of device." And then she began to flutter around them exactly as if they were two guests who had gotten themselves impeccably drunk early in the evening. Across the room, Drew had Sir Bonner face first against a wall and out of sight of the other guests, and as Alice looked, she too stunned him at point-blank range. In the corridor, Alice could see Arl with two Camaran guests, senior members of their local government, and the man with the red flower still close by. Most of the other guests had moved on now and were assembling in the blue room, where Alice had prudently ordered extra drinks to be laid on, but a few were still leaving. And one gave a startled exclamation at the couple Alice had stunned, now surrounded by servants. The man with the red flower turned his head, and then Alice found out what he was concealing under his loosely cut suit. The pot belly, some sort of prosthetic, came off entirely, and from underneath he pulled out a long white knife and a small glinting object Alice couldn't quite see. Arl reacted instantly, seizing both of the other Camarans and pushing them behind him, frustrating the efforts of the ImpSec agents nearby to haul him away. The Cetagandan lunged forward with the knife. Lieutenant Parkin grabbed the Cetagandan's right arm and yanked it backwards, but even as the knife was twisted from his grip, the Cetagandan flung the glittering object to the ground right in front of Arl. Alice watched in horror as Captain Illion leapt forwards and threw himself on top of it. She wanted to close her eyes but couldn't, her gaze fixed by the same ice-cold certainty that had kept her watching as Padma was killed in front of her. That to look away would be a final betrayal. Illion twisted like a fish, writhed on the floor, then became still. The Cetagandan was overpowered, stunned. Alice found herself moving forwards, not breathing. Everyone was staring silently down. Then Ilion raised his head and sat up.
"Deactivated," he said in a shockingly matter-of-fact voice, holding out the device in one hand to one of his men.
The ImpSec bustle closed around him then, but Alice heard Arl's voice carrying low and intense through the rest of the chatter.
"Damn fool thing to do that in range, Simon. Wouldn't have made any difference."
His tone was strained in a way that reminded Alice that she wasn't the only one who'd previously seen loved ones killed in front of them. She was still walking forwards. The violence had taken less than a minute from start to finish, and the few remaining guests were still blinking in confusion, apart from Count Piotr, who was still standing by the doorway, grimly.
"Best get this evening back on track now, girl," he said to her as she passed him. "Good shot, though."
Yes, Alice recalled with a start. She still had almost 100 guests in the blue room, waiting for Arl to speak to them. The Cetagandans were all being hauled away as fast as ImpSec could drag them. Arl extended a hand to Ilion and pulled him to his feet, the two senior Kamarans still behind him.
"Cetagandans," Ilion told Arl. "I suspect their plan was to pretend to be Kamaran right to the last, cast the blame for their crimes on you."
He looked at the Kamarans, who were wide-eyed with shock.
"Yes," Arl drawled. "Quite the merry dance for all of them."
He looked across to Alice.
"I believe I'm supposed to be speaking now,"
Parkin reminded, pulled a flimsy from his breast pocket, but Arl brushed it aside.
"I think I can figure this one out on my own, thank you. Gentlemen, perhaps you might have something to add as well. Shall we?"
They walked ahead to the blue room. Alice did not follow at once. Ilion was looking after Arl as he strode off, a crooked smile on his face.
"That's going to be good for him now, politically speaking," he said to Alice. "Those Kamarans won't eat out of his hand after that."
His jacket was still askew from his dive to the floor. Alice reached out and straightened it for him, smoothing out the wrinkles on his sleeve, and he focused on her, coming off the adrenaline high of the past few minutes.
"Alice, without you."
His hand covered hers on his sleeve, then closed around her fingers. His skin was cool to the touch, and she realized she was shaking again, slightly with reaction. Ilion stepped close to her, and Alice felt her lips part, and knew that if he moved another inch, she would kiss him again, and it would not be a sham. But instead, he lifted her right hand to his lips. His breath was warm. He pressed his lips to the back of her hand and held her there for a moment too long, then abruptly released her hand and stepped back.
"I must get on. Interrogations await. My lady, you were magnificent."
He turned and strode for the door. Alice watched him go and said quietly,
"So were you, Captain,"
before following Arl. She walked through the doorway and realized she was covering the back of her right hand with her left and quickly pulled them apart. There was still work ahead tonight.
The end. Thanks for listening.